This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A White House revision. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Friday, October 18. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney sent President Trump's legal team scrambling after remarks about aid to Ukraine. He then clarified them.
Some 360,000 public school students in Chicago have off for a second straight day today due to a teacher strike.
Turkish and Kurdish forces have agreed to a ceasefire in northern Syria, but there are reports of gunfire and shelling today.
And Delta Airlines making an effort to improve the conditions on long flights in coach.
It'll be sort of like business class. You'll get a free welcome drink, a Bellini or something else. When you board, you'll have a choice. You'll get a printed menu, a placemat, a platter that they'll put different dishes, different plates on instead of, you know, kind of the TV tray, serve it all at once.
Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney on how flying coach will soon be less miserable. He's here in about 20 minutes. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney has created a mess. First, he said yesterday that President Trump's decision to place a hold on aid to Ukraine was tied to his desire for the government there to investigate a Democratic National Committee server. Hours later, he issued a statement reversing that. The initial comments by Mr. Mulvaney caused alarm among the president's legal team. Here's how they sounded.
What you just described is a quid pro quo. It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happened as well.
We do that all the time with foreign policy.
That was his engagement with ABC's Jonathan Carl. Mr. Trump has repeatedly denied there was any quid pro quo related to the $400 million in aid. Mr. Mulvaney said that Mr. Trump's concerns about corruption in Ukraine were partly responsible for the order to withhold money. The president has said that the reasons for his decision were concerns about corruption and that European nations weren't doing enough to help Ukraine, issues that Mr. Mulvaney repeated yesterday. Overseas now, Turkey has agreed to suspend military operations in northern Syria in return for a promise by the U.S. to facilitate a pullout by Syrian Kurdish fighters. The ceasefire is good for 5 days. Vice President Mike Pence struck the accord yesterday after hours of talks with Turkey's president. President Trump says sanctions and tariffs imposed on Ankara will now be lifted.
This is an incredible outcome. This outcome is something they've been trying to get for 10 years, everybody, and they couldn't get it. Other administrations, and they never would have been able to get it. Unless you went somewhat unconventional. I guess I'm an unconventional person.
The U.S. and Kurds have been allies in fighting Islamic State terrorists, but Turkey considers Kurdish forces to be terrorists themselves. In advance of the Turkish incursion, Mr. Trump had ordered parts of the 1,000-member U.S. force to withdraw from northeastern Syria, for which he faced bipartisan criticism. Defense officials said they have no instructions to reverse the U.S. pullout or to help facilitate the Kurdish withdrawal. Let's get a recap of the day's events now from Bart Jansen, Justice Department reporter at USA Today. Bart, start with the comments from the acting White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney.
Mulvaney went to talk about a variety of subjects at the White House, but one of the things that he said about the impeachment investigation is he just came out and said, yes, President Trump demanded that Ukraine investigate corruption, including what they are nervous about, which was the hacking of the Democratic National Committee's computer server, and that demand came in exchange for providing nearly $400 million in military aid. Now, it's that trade-off. That's what you hear when you hear people talk about a quid pro quo, a direct exchange for one thing for another that has made people, Democrats in particular, nervous about how the president conducted his foreign policy with Ukraine. But Mulvaney says that's it. That's why we held up the money. Now, Mulvaney denied that the money was, the military aid was withheld for an investigation specifically into former Vice President Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden served on the board of another Ukrainian energy company called Burisma. And so Mulvaney denies that it was linked to that, but according to the White House's own summary of the call, Trump went on to say Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into that, right, it sounds horrible to me.
There's a critical distinction here, right? We're really parsing words with how far Mr. Mulvaney went.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Mulvaney just denied that there was a link to Biden's, but Trump himself seems to have encouraged an investigation specifically targeting the Biden. So, I mean, what the president has said is that he is absolutely in justified in calling for investigation of corruption in Ukraine. That is the same thing that Rudy Giuliani, his personal lawyer, has said, that they are just trying to fight corruption, fight wrongdoing. Why would you pour hundreds of millions of dollars into a country where it might be used for corruption, funneled toward corrupt purposes? But it's the trade-off. If you're withholding money in exchange for a demand of an investigation of a political rival, Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden, of course, one of the leading Democratic contenders to challenge President Trump in 2020, that is a bad thing. And I tell you, the third thing that happened is the U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, testified behind closed doors about all of this. And Sondland himself, in his 18-page opening statement, said, "Let me state clearly, inviting a foreign government to undertake investigations for the purpose of influencing an upcoming U.S. election would be wrong."
We're speaking with Justice Department reporter Bart Jansen at USA Today. And it sounds like Mr. Sondland's key phrases of "would be" don't really implicate anybody.
Right. I mean, he was out of the loop, okay, that he didn't hear Biden's name used, that he didn't hear specifically withholding military aid in exchange for the investigations, and that, in fact, he got a warning note from the top diplomat in Ukraine, a guy named William Taylor, on September 9th that said, you know, it would be crazy to withhold military aid in exchange for a political request. And Sondland said, well, let me check. He calls Trump, and Trump, he says, "What do you want from Ukraine?" And the president replied, "Nothing. There is no quid pro quo." And so Sondland repeated that message to the top diplomat, a guy named Taylor, and you know, now that has been shown to be, you know, there are many questions. It appears there was a quid pro quo. It appears that Mulvaney acknowledged the quid pro quo at the White House.
Thanks, Bart. Bart Jansen, Justice Department reporter at USA Today. Again, Mr. Mulvaney would later reverse and clarify those comments. A lot of moving parts, right? 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This Morning with Gordon Deal podcast is brought to you by Privacy.com. For me, shopping online with Privacy.com is safer. How? By using Privacy.com's virtual credit or debit cards. They protect my identity and bank info when shopping online. Remember the recent theft of financial data of millions of online shoppers from a very large online retailer? Privacy.com's virtual accounts are held to the same security standards as your bank. It's PCI DSS compliant, which makes info online secure with military-grade encryption. Privacy.com can also help you take control of your finances by setting spending limits for when you tend to order too much takeout, or by monitoring recurring payments or subscriptions. Head to privacy.com/Gordon to sign up and start shopping. As a special treat for our listeners, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on your first purchase. Yep, that's free money to use on any online purchase. Go to privacy.com/Gordon and sign up now. Hey, thanks for being with us. The U.S. will host the 2020 Group of Seven Summit at President Trump's luxury golf resort near Miami, aware that critics will say he's looking to personally profit from the presidency. Mr. Trump said in August that the Trump National Doral Miami Golf Resort is an ideal location for the summit next June, which the U.S. is hosting next year as part of an annual rotation among member states. countering suggestions that he's lining his own pockets, Mr. Trump said he was losing billions of dollars by being president and pitched the merits of the Miami facility. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said it was determined it was millions of dollars cheaper to hold it at Doral over other spots that were considered.
I don't know if there will be a Judiciary Committee inquiry into this. My guess is there probably will be, and we'll look forward to participating in it.
He said the summit would be hosted at cost and that the president will not profit. Overall, by the way, from 2015 to 2017, the club's revenue there fell 18%. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the White House acknowledged that President Trump's decision to hold up military aid to Ukraine was linked to his demand that officials there investigate the Democratic National Committee and the 2016 presidential campaign. A shifting new explanation about events at the heart of the impeachment inquiry. The admission from acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney undercut the president's position that there was no quid pro quo during Trump's phone call with the Ukraine president that sparked the House investigation.
I have news for everybody. Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy.
Following the news conference, Trump's lawyer tried to distance the president from Mulvaney's account. President Trump framed the U.S. brokered ceasefire deal with Turkey as a great day for civilization, but its effect was largely to mitigate a foreign policy crisis widely seen to be of his own making. After hours of negotiation, the two nations agreed to a five-day ceasefire in the Turks' deadly attacks on Kurdish fighters in northern Syria.
We've gotten everything we could have ever dreamed of, and we're also going to be able to bring our people back home, but we'll be able to have control of ISIS total.
But journalists witnessed continued fighting today in a northeast Syrian town at the center of the fight between Turkey and Kurdish forces. Britain's prime minister and European Union leaders have reached a long-sought Brexit deal, but now Boris Johnson faces the uphill task of getting it approved by his own parliament. And several British party leaders say they will vote against the deal, including the Northern Irish party that supports Johnson's government. Juul Labs is stopping sales of fruit and dessert flavors for its electronic cigarettes. The voluntary step comes amid a political backlash blaming the company's flavored nicotine products for hooking a generation of teenagers. The move does not affect Juul's most popular flavors, mint and menthol. Things are looking pretty good for the Astros as they move one game from the World Series after an 8-3 win over the Yankees last night. The call on KBME as Carlos Correa hit a three-run homer for Houston.
Here's the 0-1. And that's hit pretty well and pretty deep to left. Gardner is going back, looking up. See you later! A three-run home run for Carlos Correa. And the Astros go up 6-1.
And the Astros lead the ALCS 3-1 and can wrap it up tonight.
Boy, you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Too many Astros fans in New York last night.
I thought maybe there would be a pocket of Astros fans we'd hear at Yankee Stadium there. But nothing.
No.
Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A. How about this for you flyers? After decades of cuts and squeezes, improvements are actually creeping back into the coach cabin at some airlines. Does this mean coach passengers can expect more widespread relief? Here with the answer is Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, what's up here?
On November 5th, Delta's launching a huge revamp of its meal service on long international flights in coach. And this is, admittedly for Delta, this is the first time in 20 years that they've done any kind of upgrade, significant upgrade of coach service. It's going to really be nice. I think this is a significant change, a change in attitude. Some of this has been building at Delta, certainly building at some other airlines, and I think there's increasing pressure on the airlines who are going cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, to what do we owe this? And it's competition?
It is competition. The foreign carriers have not cut coach as drastically as the U.S. carriers have. And so head-to-head, Delta felt like it wasn't competitive with some of its foreign competitors. That said, they are leapfrogging ahead of them because they really believe that, sort of a change in the traveling public, I think, that they're trying to capitalize on. But they really believe that there is a business opportunity here to win over higher demand by offering good service. I think for a lot of travelers, it's not just about price anymore, not just about the cheap fare. And Delta has seen over recent years by improving its dependability, by reducing cancellations, by holding firm on its seat pitch and not pushing seats as close together as some of the competitors have, that they can get a revenue premium and be a favored brand compared to other airlines.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Imagine Flying Coach and Not Hating It. Well, you referenced the 20 years. You quoted, I think there was a VP in your story who said, hey, we haven't reviewed this in 20 years. It's okay to, you know, revisit these things. I had to read that line like three times to realize that was coming from an airline executive. But what's,
yeah,
do you suspect
your VP in charge of customer service?
Yeah, so when might as average Joes who fly coach start to see tangible results here?
Well, November 5th, you'll see a noticeable change in food service on anything that's 6.5 hours or longer. So Boston to London, anything transatlantic, anything across the Pacific, it'll be sort of like business class. You'll get a free welcome drink, a Bellini or something else. When you board, you'll have a choice. You'll get a printed menu, a placemat, a platter that they'll put different dishes, different plates on instead of, you know, kind of the TV tray, serve it all at once attitude. You get a choice of appetizer. In coach, you'll even get a chocolate when you're about to land. And so, you know, part of it is about the chocolate and part of it is about the flight attendant actually coming by and thanking you for flying and handing you a chocolate.
Could you imagine that? Getting a chocolate, like even if you're in the back of the plane in coach? It's Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people. Every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, October 18. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. A White House official suggests a quid pro quo regarding aid to Ukraine, then reverses course. Chicago teachers on strike again today. No classes. Tariffs hurt. China's economy decelerated to a 26-year low last quarter. Florida Panhandle watching a tropical storm. NASA tries again today for its first all-female spacewalk. Chiefs beat the Broncos in Thursday night football, but lost quarterback Patrick Mahomes to a dislocated kneecap. And how a lost camper in Australia saved herself. That story in about 20 minutes. Unpredictable schedules, as you know, can be brutal for hourly workers, upending their lives. Claire Kane Miller, writer for The Upshot at The New York Times, says the harmful repercussions are felt not just by the workers, but also their families. Claire, what stood out as you researched this?
One of the things that stood out to me most is we know that many, many of these hourly workers have unpredictable schedules, meaning their employers tell them their schedules sometimes a day or two in advance of when they're expected to come in. They also show up for shifts and then find out that they're canceled without pay, or while they're at work, their employers ask them to stay 3 extra hours and they don't feel they can say no. And these unpredictable schedules are really, really hard on people, which is not a surprise. Something that was really interesting to me in this new survey, though, is that people of color were much, much more likely than white people to have these unpredictable schedules. The white people were more likely to be assigned more stable schedules.
And why is that? Any reason?
There are various reasons, like the level of education that workers have and things like that, but the researchers said none of those were actually as important as some people think. The biggest reason, it seemed, was racism. It seemed that managers were giving the worst schedules to people of color, and when people had a manager of a different race than they were more likely to get a bad schedule from that manager, and most of the managers were white.
Isn't there software that does this these days? This is all still like hand-picked stuff by managers?
It is software. It is absolutely software. That's one of the reasons it's become so difficult, is because the software can sort of judge customer demand and then make people come in or not, and is not, you know, the software is not really thinking of them as human beings. But managers also do have a say in it. The software spits something out. A manager is the one who makes the ultimate decision. And managers can also, you know, play with the software, prioritize which workers they want to call in, which workers are paid what, and things like that. So they do have some control over it.
Well, we're speaking with Claire Kane Miller. She writes for The Upshot at the New York Times. Her piece is called How Unpredictable Work Hours Turn Families Upside Down. Go through that a little bit, by the way, what happens with some of these families in the unpredictable or erratic hours.
So the biggest problem is childcare, because, you know, as anyone who has had a kid in daycare knows, you don't just get to send them whenever you feel like it and only pay, you know, whenever you need it. Usually you sign a contract and they're only open during business hours and you have to show up certain days. And so if you have these unpredictable schedules, you're often in a situation where you're really scrambling to find childcare. So many of these people ended up relying on relatives, on neighbors. One of the scariest findings to me is that a decent percentage of these workers had ended up leaving a child 9 years old or younger home alone or with a sibling to babysit them when the sibling was younger than 10. And, you know, we know that that is too young to stay home alone. These parents said the same thing. They didn't feel comfortable, but they needed their job to support their family and they had no other choice.
Wow. Okay. So that kind of swings into my next question, I guess. There's no help at home, I guess, based on some of these surveys or responses.
You mean somebody, another adult in the house?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Well, sometimes these are single mothers who are working these hourly jobs, and sometimes there is a co-parent in the house, but they also have a job like this. Yeah. You know, they're also working an hourly job that's unpredictable or have a night shift, and it really affects family. So one of the most interesting things about the survey technique is they could compare people who earned the same, even who worked at the same company, but had a stable schedule versus an unstable one. And the parents with unstable schedules reported worse behavior in their kids. Their kids were more anxious, they were more sad, they had more tantrums, they had more arguments.
That's unbelievable. And I guess it's, I mean, I've worked in this industry before, like service industry or restaurants. I guess the nature of that line of work, right, that people might be exposed to these types of hours?
It is about customer demand. There's things that are out of companies' control. You know, if the weather's bad, there's going to be fewer customers in that day. You know, there's things that they can't control. But some of the researchers I talked to said there's actually more in companies' control than they might realize. For example, they will run promotions with no notice. They'll say, you know, corporate will say, we're actually having a sale tomorrow. You need to call in a bunch more people. You know, why couldn't corporate have planned that sale in advance? Yeah. Or they'll mess up on inventory and they'll send 2,000 sweaters instead of 20 sweaters. And now they need more people to come in and stock the shelves. So there are some things that it's not just about customer demand. It's also about corporate practices, things that seem pretty easy to change.
Thanks, Claire. Claire Kane Miller, writer for The Upshot at the New York Times. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, Beyond the Headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's not exactly news when we hear a story about a gator in a pool in Florida. What we don't often hear about, however, is a trapper playing with a gator before finally removing it. That's what happened this week in Parkland, Florida, where celebrity trapper Paul Bedard was contracted by the state's nuisance alligator program to remove a gator that had hopped into a residential swimming pool. Bedard said he was able to pull the nearly 9-foot animal out of the water once it grew tired from playing with him in the pool on Wednesday. He then put a snare on its mouth and taped it. He described the reptile as mellow and named it Cool Hand Luke after the 1967 film starring Paul Newman. Bedard also said the gator weighed in at 185 pounds. This is like a whole different human being than you and I are, for instance. Just like a whole different species, pretty much. In fact, he said he was kind of looking forward to this. I guess he hadn't gotten a chance to wrestle with a gator in a while and was very excited to get the call to come in and take care of this. And he said it's really easy, actually, when you're dealing with a gator in this situation. I guess once they get into the pool, it's really hard for them to get out.
Yeah.
So they're just kind of trapped in there. So you just kind of get there and dance around with them, wait for them to tire out, and then you grab them and tape them, and then, you know, just all in a day's work, Gordon.
Dance around with them. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
A little water ballet.
Right. The problem is that when you're in the water, it's total advantage, crocodile.
Well, yeah.
Or alligator in this
case,
not crocodile.
That's right. That's what we all assume, yes.
If you're on land, you can at least run serpentine to try to get away, although they're fast on land.
Right.
But at least I feel like you have a shot. If you're in the water, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
No, not sure how this happens.
I wonder, too,
the
like...
same person.
I wonder, too, how the... how long an alligator can stay. Because you got the chemicals in the pool, right? Like frogs wind up in my pool. They don't last very long once they start breathing in the chlorine or whatever.
Well, gators are hardy animals. They've been here much, much longer than us. So
and they can hold their breath for, I don't know, half an hour at a time at least, right? So maybe that helps them.
Yeah. So another advantage for the gators. And there are a few things that go together better, Gordon, than football and wings. So KFC seemed to know what they were doing when they came up with an idea to make sure football fans were well-stocked with wings every week. It was called the Seasoned Ticket. And for $75, you can have 48 made-to-order wings delivered to your home every week for 10 weeks during the football season. And on the 10th week, Seasoned Ticket holders would receive a bonus ticket, good for 4 dozen more wings. However, this deal was only available for the first 500 interested fans, and KFC reports that it took less than 2 hours for the passes to sell out. All of this in an effort to promote the chain's new line of wings, which debuted nationwide last week.
Very good. Now, it's good promotion.
Yeah, there is a reason why this sold out in less than 2 hours. That's an incredibly good deal. That's I totaled it up. That's 528 wings for $75. That's like 15 cents a wing.
Ah.
I mean, you go out to a restaurant and you're talking like a dollar a wing is the generally accepted price these days.
The thing is, you probably have to entertain, though.
Well,
to move these wings.
Some people might.
Right. Every Sunday, say on football Sunday.
I suppose.
So after a while, people are not going to come over anymore because they're tired of wings. Could you, Mike Gavin, eat 48 wings on one football Sunday?
At no point when I was writing this story did I even think about inviting people over.
Oh.
No.
Well, there you go.
This is going to be all for me. Maybe my kids could have a couple. Here you go, boys. Two each.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. Hey, what's longer, your watch list or your reading list? For me, it's definitely my reading list, but there are not enough hours in the day. Then I found Blinkist. Blinkist is the app that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. It's great on a commute. I like it as a refresher for books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm catching up right now on all kinds of history that I never learned in school. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning. To start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for being with us in the battle between the adolescent penchant for hitting the snooze button and parental desire to rush them onto an early morning school bus. Experts say science is increasingly siding with the snooze. Dr. Mary Carxadon, director of the Sleep and Chronobiology Research Lab at E.P. Bradley Hospital, told CNN that the biological clock of teens is shifted, meaning sleeping, waking, and eating patterns are set later. And she said if teens have trouble naturally falling asleep at an early hour and don't get the recommended 8.5 to 9 hours of sleep, asking them to be awake, ready, and in a classroom by 7:30 can wreak havoc on their systems. Students in one state have gotten a reprieve from the early morning blues. As we told you earlier, California has pushed back start times for middle and high school schools to align with circadian rhythms. It's a move sleep experts hope more districts will follow. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a top White House official for the first time linked President Trump's decision to hold up aid to Ukraine to his desire for officials there to probe a Democratic National Committee server related to the 2016 election. Then hours later issued a statement contradicting his own remarks. The initial comments were made at a briefing by Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney.
What you just described is a quid pro quo. It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happened as well.
We do that all the time with foreign policy.
Late in the afternoon, Mulvaney issued a statement reversing his remarks and saying there was no connection. Mulvaney held the news conference to announce that next year's Group of Seven Summit of World Leaders will be held at President Trump's private Miami area resort, drawing immediate criticism that Trump is seeking to personally profit from the presidency. Mulvaney says roughly a dozen locations were considered for the event.
I was talking to one of the advance teams when they came back, and I said, what was it like? And he said, Mick, you're not going to believe this, but it's almost like they built this facility to host this type of event.
The White House insisted that Trump would not profit off the G7 meeting, despite widespread concern that hosting the event at one of his private properties violates the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. President Trump hailed it as a great day for civilization, but the agreement hammered out in Turkey between the U.S. and Turkish leaders spawned more questions than answers. The deal calls for a five-day pause in fighting between Turkish and Kurdish fighters.
Obviously, the sanctions and tariffs were going to be very biting. I'm glad we don't have to do it. We'll be taking them off very quickly.
Journalists witnessed continued fighting today in a northeast Syrian town. Samuel Adams is releasing a beer so strong that it's illegal in 15 states. The beer, called Utopias, has 28% alcohol by volume and began its limited release this week in select stores. Samuel Adams calls the beer a ruby black uncarbonated drink reminiscent of a rich vintage port or fine sherry.
Ooh, uncarbonated.
That doesn't sound like beer to me.
Uncarbonated sounds like syrup.
Yes. Mm.
Not sure I could get that one down. Not sure after one I wouldn't be doing so well either. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. An Australian woman who was missing for days in the outback was rescued after her SOS message was spotted by a man's security camera. Police say 55-year-old Deborah Pilgrim was camping with friends near the town of Sedan when on Sunday she disappeared. Authorities searched for days trying to find her but had no luck. As they headed into the fourth day of their search, they got a breakthrough. Neil Marriott, who owns land in the area and knew Ms. Pilgrim was missing, had been intermittently logging onto his closed-circuit TV cameras remotely. South Australia police said he noticed late Tuesday night that a large SOS had been written on his driveway, which hadn't been there previously. The man alerted authorities, who quickly went to search. Ms. Pilgrim was found safe and sound on a nearby property where she had access to water. Mr. Marriott said his security camera was only recently installed after several break-ins. Ms. Pilgrim was ultimately discovered outside their search area, roughly 4 miles from her campsite. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it's a lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.